Good morning. I had goosebumps this morning as we were singing, as James led the songs on worshiping God. It just, as I studied, I studied about the plagues are there to bring glory and honor to God, so God could be glorified through them plagues. And then as the worship team led us in these songs, everyone just was worshiping God, and as we sang, and I trust as I open the Word here this morning that we can see the magnificence of God as He was there within the time of Egypt when the Israelites were there, and also it's a remembrance. I'll be using a lot of scripture out of Exodus. So you can turn there about Exodus 5, and we'll get through some there. Just a review from last Sunday. Last Sunday's message and this one and the next two are all leading up to our Passover meal on April the 2nd. And it's not an annual thing. This is the first time our congregation has ever done Passover. It is not a ritual that we are going to continue on Passover every year, but it is a time. It's a time for us to remember, and it is a time of looking back. The Passover was pointing to Christ, and it points to Christ, and we know who Christ is, and we have Christ in us, but we can learn from the Passover a little bit about what that was coming from the Old Testament and who Christ is today. Like last Sunday, Pastor Luke, he introduced the life of Moses and the rescue of Moses, how God's hand was in all that there. You know, Moses' first 40 years, he lived in a royal palace there with Pharaoh, in Pharaoh's palace. He was trained in all the languages there. He was well-versed in royalty. And then, you know, at 40 years old, he wanted to take into his own hands and rescue his people, the Israelites, and by killing the Egyptian there, he fled into the desert. From the 40 to 80 years old, he was in the desert as a shepherd, one of the lowest forms of occupation. I would like to be a shepherd. I think sheep and goats are neat, but in that time, shepherd was a very low form, and here was a royal man. He could have been probably destined to be a pharaoh, but he was being a shepherd. At 80 years old, God called out to Moses and to bring him to the Israelites to bring them out of bondage, out of Egypt. So Moses takes Aaron, his brother, and he goes to the children of Israel first. So I'm going to like to read from Exodus 4, 30 and 31. This is when God had spoke to Moses and Aaron and told them everything that what they're going to do and what they're going to say. And they came to the Israelites. They gathered together the elders of the children of Israel. They didn't gather everyone together. There was somewhere between 1.5 and 2 million people of the Israelites living in Egypt, in Goshen, part of Egypt at that time. But they gathered together the elders, and they told the elders what God had said, and I'll read verse 30 and 31 in chapter 4. And Aaron spoke all the words which the Lord had spoken to Moses. Then he did the signs in the sight of the people. So the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked on their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshiped. You know, the Israelites were in Goshen there for 430 years, and they knew the promise God had was he was going to bring them out and take them to their own land, the land of Canaan. But how depressing would that have been to be a slave, to be not entitled to anything? They were just there, and it seemed like it was forever. 430 years, I can't even fathom that. It's hard to fathom, you know, my age already, but you can all look at that. But no, it's hard to fathom what 430 years are, but there they were as slaves. And here, Aaron and Moses came, and they were when they heard that the Lord had visited them, that means the Lord was going to come and draw them and bring them out of bondage, they bowed their heads and worshiped. And we, each of us, you know, the Lord has visited us. We are drawn out of bondage. When we repent of our sins and accept Christ, we are drawn out. The Lord is with us and we worship him. We can worship him in many ways. We have one form of worship here, but there's many ways to worship God. And I encourage you to worship God wherever you are. Every day, worship him. It's a continuing, it's not just a once thing Sunday morning that we worship God. We worship God every day. So as looking at our Passover meal, it's a remembrance. And I just want to say a little bit, we need you to sign up. There's a sign-up sheet right outside here. There's a table on the other wall. Sign up, and how many are coming? Because you're being tables of eight as families. And if you're singles or youth that don't have a family here, and please sign up. We would like you to participate of the Passover meal. It's a teaching, learning experience. But sign up, and we will get you together. There is room for everyone here, and we are encouraging to come out that there if it fits on your schedule. So that brings, looking at Aaron and Moses coming to the Israelites, it brings us to the title of my sermon, which is Remembering the Plagues. You know, the plagues are all in here in the Bible, and it's really some miraculous events that we read about. But what's the purpose of them? It is to remember them and to bring honor and glory to God, to worship God through it. As we remember him on Passover meal at night here at church, a little part of the Passover meal is remember the plagues. And the way we do that, we will all have a cup of grape juice at our place setting. And when Eric leads that part of remembering the plagues, you will be asked to dip your finger in the grape juice 10 times and take it to your plate and put a dot on your plate, 10 dots on your plate. And that is remembering the plagues. Now I could stop there and I could sit down and your memory would have to be what you've read before, what it is. But think of what the Jews, as the Israelites, the Jews did that every year since the time they were brought out of Egypt, what they were remembering. And as I studied this, I learned a whole lot. It's like, well, oh, there's more there than just reading over and thinking of all the devastation and the catastrophe. But let's dig into it here. So the title of my sermon this morning is Remembering the Plagues. And looking at Exodus 5, I'm just going to read the first two verses. After Moses and Aaron went to the children of Israel, the Israelites, and shared with them that God was going to bring them out, they went to Pharaoh. And it says, afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should worship his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go. And there's a man that he considered himself God. The Pharaoh always lifted themselves up. They were God. Their people all worshiped him. And here was another Lord that wanted all his workforce to be taken out to worship him. And he said, well, I don't know the Lord. And he goes on, I won't read the rest, but he discerned that the Israelites were lazy, didn't have enough work, and they're going to have to gather their own straw to make their bricks, which before their supplies were set before them, and they would make bricks all day long for building projects. So he made more tasks for them, and if they didn't fulfill that, they were beaten. They needed to perform what they were told. We look back at the Israelites just right before this. They had hope, and they thought, "Wow, God's going to take them out." And it gets worse. It really got bad. And looking at verse 20 through 23 in chapter 5, it says that the leaders of the Israelites, then they came out from Pharaoh. They had gone to Pharaoh and said, "Hey, we got to gather our own straw. Your taskmasters are beating us. We can't do this." And they told Pharaoh, and the Pharaoh said, "Nope, you got to do that." And they came out, and Moses and Aaron were standing there when they came out from Pharaoh. So I'm not sure if he had a palace, a building, or where Pharaoh was, but the leaders of the Israelites came out, and they saw Moses there. And very angrily, in verse 21, they said to them, "Let the Lord look on you and judge, because you have made us abhorrent in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants, to put a sword in their hands to kill us." They were angry at Moses and Aaron. And Moses went to the Lord, the next verse there. So Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Lord, why have you brought trouble on this people? Why is it you have sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people. Neither have you delivered your people at all." So they're going through a process, and many of us go through a process in our life, and emotions, there's nothing wrong with emotions, but God gives us, he gives us the power and the grace to go through what we're going through. And we'll see that as we come through here, where that has come to. So we get to, we'll go to there was interaction then between Moses and Aaron, and it talks about them going back into Pharaoh, and then in verse, in Exodus 7, verse 14 is the first plague that we have, and it's the plague of water becoming blood. And I'll just like to read that. It gives you a really good view of what happens. So in verse 14 of chapter 7 of Exodus. "So the Lord said to Moses, 'Pharaoh's heart is hard. He refuses that the people go. Go to Pharaoh in the morning when he goes out to the water, and you shall stand by the river's bank to meet him. And the rod which was turned to a serpent you shall take in your hand. And you shall say to him, "The Lord God of Hebrews has sent me to you, saying, Let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. But indeed, until now you would not hear. Thus says the Lord, by this you shall know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will strike the waters which are the river with the rod that is in my hand, and they shall be turned to blood. And the fish that are in the river shall die, the river shall stink, and the Egyptians will loath to drink the water of the river.'" Just going to stop there. You realize here, Pharaoh was going out to the river, and we'll see that in a number of these plagues. It seemed like every morning Pharaoh went to the river. It wasn't just to, I don't think it was just to get a drink. I don't think it was just to get water, but the river was their lifeline. It was their God, the river. They worshiped the river because the river did so much for them. It would, it supplied the people for the water, their water supplied their animals, and it watered their crops. It also, it flooded about every year. There would be a flood, and as waters came out, the silt and the minerals in there would flood the fields, and that would give fertilizer to the fields. So they saw the river as their lifeline, and they would worship it. There was also gods that were around the river that they worshiped because of the river there. So Pharaoh was coming out, and this here plague was a direct offense to one of their gods, well, several of their gods. And we'll just finish this here, starting with verse 19. "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, 'Say to Aaron, take your rod and stretch your hand over the waters of Egypt, over their streams, their rivers, over their ponds, over their pools of water, that they may become blood. And there shall be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in the buckets of wood and pitchers of stone.' And Moses and Aaron did so, just as the Lord commanded. So he lifted up the rod and struck the waters that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh, in the sight of his servants. And all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. The fish that were in the river died. The river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink the water of the river. So there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. Then the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them, as the Lord had said. And Pharaoh turned and went into the house, Neither was his heart moved by this. So all the Egyptians dug around the river for water to drink, because they could not drink the water of the river. And 7 days passed after the Lord had struck the river. As we see this here, Moses and Aaron, first of all, told Pharaoh and his servants what was going to happen. The Lord was going to have this happen. And then they stretched out the rod, and it happened just like they had said. We have a couple times here, the magicians, they do it too, and there was sleight of hand or magicry or sorcery, and they performed it also. The statement there that Pharaoh's heart grew hard, we will see that many times. I had chapter 4 chapter 14, I highlighted every time it said that Pharaoh's heart grew hard, or he hardened his heart, or the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, I highlighted in there, and there was 18 times. And I think that could be a whole separate sermon, but I just want to say that the Holy Spirit is who speaks to us, and the Holy Spirit is who convicts us. And as Pharaoh hardened his heart, I feel that he closed his self off to the Holy Spirit working in his life. And we're looking for a soft heart. Another little bit of thing on the hardening of the heart, the Egyptians, their view of the afterlife, their heart, they need a light heart. And in their afterlife, their heart is put on a scales, and if it's light, they have a longer, more prosperous afterlife. So their desire is to have a light heart. And it seems like a hardening of a heart, like a stone heart, is heavier and heavier. And it really goes against what they're believed in their afterlife. And we know that our heart in eternity, our heart needs to be in tune with God, and we need to have Jesus in our heart for our heart to be for salvation. So that was the first plague, and it lasted 7 days. And as all the Egyptians saw that, it was mentioned that it probably happened also in Goshen. The first three, it looked like it happened in Goshen, and then after that, the Israelite people were spared all the plagues, and we'll get to that, but it's just the sequence here. Second plague was frogs, and Moses told Pharaoh exactly how it would happen, and then gives Pharaoh the honoring of saying when it should stop. So he goes, the Lord tells Moses to go back to Pharaoh, and we won't read all these plagues this morning, but I would like to read, starting with verse 9 of chapter 8, after Moses told Pharaoh that there'd be frogs coming out of the water, and there'll be everywhere. There'll be in your house, in your kitchens, in the bread bowls, in your beds, in the bed sheets. They will be everywhere. He says to Pharaoh in verse 9, and Moses said to Pharaoh, accept the honor of saying when I shall intercede for you, for your servants and for your people, to destroy the frogs from you and your house, that they may remain in the river only. So it was kind of humorous. He said, all this will happen, but you can say when it stops. If you want me to, when you want it to stop, you have the honor of saying that. I'll listen to you, and you tell me when to stop it. And Pharaoh, the next verse, in verse 10, Pharaoh says, so he said, tomorrow. And he said, let it be according to your, this is Moses. Moses said, let it be according to your word, that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God. The frogs shall depart from you, from your houses, from your servants, and from your people, and they shall remain in the river only. So that's what he did. The frogs came out. They were everywhere. When they died, in the next day, they all died. Everybody gathered them up on heaps, and they stank, and they were just miserable. Now, frogs were also worshipped. They were a frog turning from an egg to a tadpole to a frog was a symbol of life. life-forming, and they worshiped the frog as fertility and as frog as bringing life. And it was another one of their gods that they worshiped, and here was against their god. At the very end there of that section in verse 15, but when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart and did not heed them, as the Lord had said. The Lord had said that Pharaoh would harden his heart. In verse 16 through 19, I'll read it. It's on lice. So the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your rod and strike the dust of the land so that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so, for Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and struck the dust of the earth, and it became lice on man and beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Now the magicians so worked with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there was lice on man and beast. Then the magician said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. But Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them, just as the Lord had said. This plague, he did not go to Pharaoh and say what would happen. It was unannounced. And there's a pattern here to these 10 plagues. First two, Pharaoh is told what's going to happen. The third one is unannounced. The next two, Pharaoh is told what has happened. The sixth one is unannounced. And the next two are he's told. And that brings us to the ninth. I think the ninth is unannounced. It was two and one, yeah. It's a sequence, and I don't know the reason that, but it's just brought out that two were announced and one was unannounced. But lice everywhere, and the magicians couldn't do it. It seems like when it's announced, the magicians know what's going to happen. They can kind of get things together, but here it all happened, and they tried to reproduce it, and it didn't happen. On the fourth plague, this is the first one where it specifically says that there will be no flies in the land of Goshen. And it says in verse 20 of chapter 8, and the Lord said to Moses, rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh as he comes out to the water. So this is, like I said, it's a regular ritual. Every morning, Pharaoh would leave his palace and come to the water, which is the Nile River, which is their main their life stream there, and say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me, or else if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you and your servants, on your people and into your houses. The houses of the Egyptians shall be full of the swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they stand. And in that day I will set apart the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, in order that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the land. I will make a difference between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign shall be. And the Lord did so. And as the flies came, but it was not in the land of Goshen. And Pharaoh, he called back Moses and Aaron and said, go and sacrifice to your God. But he said, do it in your land. Stay in Goshen and sacrifice. And Moses said, no, it would be an abomination to your people, because the Egyptians, they worshiped some of the cattle, they worshiped some of the animals, and for them to sacrifice there, he said they might stone us because of what they're seeing us do. We have to go out into the desert, into the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, no, he won't let them do that. And then when the flies were taken away, he hardened his heart and did not let them go. Again, this happens time and again. But I just was thinking what the Israelites, if they did experience the first three plagues and this one they didn't, they're seeing God's hand in it, and how they would start to be worshiping God in who he was. And, you know, they didn't know. We know it's the 10 plagues of Egypt, but they didn't know it was the 10 plagues that were going to come. You know, this is the fourth thing that happened, and they're like, you know, wondering how God's going to orchestrate this. So the fifth plague was livestock diseased. In chapter 9, I'll read that. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, go into Pharaoh and tell him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me, For if you refuse to let them go and still hold them, behold, the hand of the Lord will be on your cattle in the field, on your horses, on the donkeys, on the camels, on the oxen, on the sheep, a very severe pestilence. And the Lord will make a difference between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt. So nothing shall die of all that belongs to the children of Israel. Then the Lord appointed a set time, saying, tomorrow the Lord will do this thing in the land. So the Lord did this thing in the next day, and all the livestock of Egypt died, but the livestock of the children of Israel, not one died. And this is interesting here. Then Pharaoh sent, and indeed not even one of the livestock of Israelites was dead. But the heart of Pharaoh became hard, and he did not let the people go. So another attack against what their gods, they worshiped the cattle. It was also attack against their military. They used a lot of horses in the chariot, in their chariots. The Egyptians had a very strong, they were world leader at that time and a very strong military, but it was attack against them. And Pharaoh was told that the Israelites' animals wouldn't die, but it's said that he wanted to see, so he sent someone to go check it out. And they were all healthy, all alive, and the Egyptians' animals were the ones that had died. In verse 8 through 12, it talks about the boils. And again, Moses and Aaron went in. This is the sixth plague. They did not say what's going to happen. The Lord told them to take dust and throw it in the air, and it would go across all the people of the Egypt, and boils would come on them. Very painful, very oozing, sore boil on the people and on the beasts. Whatever beasts did not die on this one before, they got boils, and they were irritated, miserable. And Pharaoh, I mean, even the magicians couldn't stand before Pharaoh. They were covered with boils. It says there in verse 11, and the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boils were in the magicians and on all the Egyptians. But the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not heed them, just as the Lord had spoken to Moses. Up until this time, it said that Pharaoh hardened his heart. Here it turns that the Lord is hardening his heart. And I'm not sure if it's because, like through the plagues, that it referred that the Lord was hardening his heart, but the Pharaoh's heart was becoming hard. Seventh plague on hail, we have in chapter 9, 13 to 17. I just read the first couple there. It said, then the Lord said to Moses, rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For at this time I will send all my plagues to your very heart and all your servant and on your servants and on your people, that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. Now if I had stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, then you would have been cut off from the earth. But indeed, for this purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth, as you exalt yourself against my people, in that you will not let them go. Right here I see the purpose of the plagues. I mean, God could have came to the Israelites. He could have put a barrier up that the Egyptians couldn't have got them, and he could have let them all out. What he would have gained is his people would have been free of bondage. He could have took them to Canaan. But the Lord said here, he is bringing the plagues, and he is letting the Egyptians experience them so that all the world may know that God is, that he is Lord. He is Lord of everywhere. And we look back at the plagues, we have that there, that we realize that God is Lord. And this is not the only example that we look at. We look at a lot of things, and we can experience God in us, and it is Lord of our life. But this was an example that many would believe. And actually, there was some Egyptians, when they saw what was all happening, they went with the Israelites out of Egypt and became part of the Israelite group. So this was the plague of hail. It came down. I'm going to have to read. He says, verse 19, "Therefore send now and gather your livestock and all that you have in the field, for the hail shall come down on every man and every animal which is found in the field and is not brought home, and they shall die." This here, the Lord actually tells everyone, all the Egyptians, to bring in the animals. And I just wanted to let you know, this is when cats were first brought into houses. And it says, bring all the animals into your home. So before this here, they didn't have cats in houses. And if you were never at church here before, that is, we'll just let it at that. But cats are not made for in houses, but you bring them in so they don't get hailed on. So, okay. That was a side note. I didn't read that in the commentary, but I figured that one out. So some of the Egyptians heard what the Lord said, and they brought in their animals. Some, they still rejected and did not believe in what was happening of the Lord. And their animals in the fields were killed. The hail came and destroyed the vegetation, it broke trees. Interesting, looking at verse 31, talks about their crops. And here's, you can kind of pinpoint what time of year this is because it's very precise. It says, "Now the flax and the barley were struck, for the barley was in head and the flax was in bud. But the wheat and the spelt were not struck, for they are late crops." So the time of year here would have been in their springtime. The barley and flax mature first, and that was damaged and killed by the hail. The wheat and the spelt was not damaged, that survived. But it kind of gives you a time frame of when the plagues were happening. Exodus... looking at Exodus 10, the first part here, this is where the start of the locust, but I'd like to bring out the first here, two verses. "Now the Lord said to Moses, go into Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the hearts of his servants, that I may show these signs of mine before him, that you may tell in the hearing of your son and your son's sons the mighty things I have done in Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, that you may know that I am the Lord." Here is, looking at the first part there, the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, but also his servants. So Pharaoh was not alone. His servants also rejected God. But the next part there is to the Israelites, and I think it's to each one of us also. "This happened so that we may tell our son and our son's sons." And in our life, you know, we can share the events, the stories out of the Bible with our sons and our children, our grandchildren. We also share other stories that as God has led. You know, testimonies are can't be refuted. Our testimony is what God has done in our life, and we can share that with our families, and it builds a foundation to build on. So that Moses says that the locusts will come and eat everything that's green. We won't read about the locusts, but here the Egyptians thought, well, good, their wheat and their spelt was saved. They can have a crop. The locusts came and then wiped out that crop also. And the economy is being devastated. Everything is being destroyed, and it is really looking bleak. But look at the end of the locust one in verse 20, it says, "But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the children of Israel go." It's a continuation of what has happened in each one. We come to the ninth plague, and that's a plague of darkness. Another one of the gods of the Egyptian was the sun god Re, not you, Re, but R-E, yeah, Re. They worshiped the sun god, and... the darkness came, and it was not just a dark that they could have a light and make a light. It was an engulfing darkness. They could not see, and it lasted 3 days. But Goshen had light. They had light in their houses. They got around. They were spared. God spared them of that. So going to the end of the darkness plague, it says there in verse 27 of chapter 10, "But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. Then Pharaoh said to Moses, 'Get away from me. Take heed to yourself and see my face no more. For in the day you see my face, you shall die.' So Moses said, 'You have spoken well. I will never see your face again.'" I think Moses knew that this was the last time. God might have revealed that to him. But Pharaoh told him, never come again. And Moses said that he, as Moses said, "You have spoken well," that they would not see each other again. And the darkness was unannounced and came upon the land as the ninth plague here. I won't be doing the tenth plague. Andrew will be preaching on that next Sunday, so I trust you can come back for that there. I do want to look at chapter 11. Chapter 11, verse 3, it said, "And the Lord gave the people," this is the Israelite people, "favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt and in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and the sight of the people." I think the Egyptian people started to see that Moses had the power that Pharaoh did not have. Moses had the power of God in him, and he was leading the Israelite people. So the Israelites, through all this, the Israelites were looking to Moses to be their leader. There, we looked back at the beginning, that first chapter we looked at, the Israelites, they had hope, and then that was dashed. They were being slaves. They were being treated worse than they were before. But then through this here, they got hope again, and they want to follow God. They want to follow Moses, and as they Exodus, we see that there, that they obeyed what Moses had to say in the next one. So as we remember these plagues, we want to see God's hand in it, and we're going to come to trust in him. Whatever we're going through, we can trust in God, that God will lead us, and God has our best interest in for us. It might seem like the Israelites, you know, when they were told that God's going to deliver them, it didn't seem like God had their best interest in them. But let you know that God always has the best interest in us, but it might not turn out like we anticipate. So I'd like to invite you again to our Passover meal here on that Friday evening. Any questions, talk to any of us leaders here. And as we go forth, it's a time of remembrance. So remembering what God has done for us. So let's have a closing prayer and a blessing. Father, thank you so much for this morning. I thank you for your word, and that you are a loving and caring God, and your desire is for each of us to follow you and to trust you in our walk. Be with us this week. Be with us as we go from here, and be with us as we are a light, a reflection of you, your light to those around us. And at this time, I just bless you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll have a closing song at this time.